want you to follow with me as I read this entire psalm, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 has been called the Pearl of the Psalms, a nightingale singing in the world's night of loneliness and need. Psalm 23 is perhaps the best known and most loved of all passages in the Bible. You ask anybody, what verse do you know from the Bible? And they will know Psalm 23, and especially verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. That first stanza in verse 1 is known by everyone. The Lord is my shepherd. So it is a common psalm that everyone knows, everyone loves, and many have no doubt put to memory. But why is the 23rd Psalm so popular, even though it was written over 3,000 years ago? Let me give you a couple reasons. Number one, it presents the most perfect picture of happiness and contentment that has ever been drawn. I believe every human heart longs for contentment. Every human heart longs for peace. Every human heart longs for fulfillment and meaning and rest. And that's what this 23rd Psalm describes, perfect happiness. In this 23rd Psalm, we see that if the Lord is our shepherd, we will not want in life. If the Lord is our shepherd, we will not want in death. And if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want in eternity, even beyond the grave. So he takes care of life, he takes care of death, and he takes care of eternity. When I die, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, David is the author of Psalm 23. Little doubt about that King David, the shepherd king of Israel, penned this 23rd Psalm. But the question is, at what point in his life did he write Psalm 23? Was he a young boy out watching the sheep with his harp, and he started singing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." By the way, the Psalms are songs. They're the Hebrew hymn book, and they sang these. And so now David got out his harp, he plugged it into a Fender amp. It was an electric harp. And he started jamming, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or was he in mid-age? Was it during the time when his son was rebelling against him? When his son Absalom, was rebelling against him and he was driven from the kingdom? Or I tend to believe, and I have no basis for this belief, it's just kind of a gut feeling, and maybe I just kind of sentimentally like to picture David, old, gray hair, hoary head, all white hair with his crown stuck on his head, kind of crooked a little bit, and his big gray beard, and he's sitting on his throne in Jerusalem in his beautiful cedar palace, and he began to look back over his life, he began to look around at his life, and he looked ahead at his future, and David penned this beautiful psalm. That's the picture that I see, the old King David, the shepherd king of Israel, as he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, notice in verse 1 the theme of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is the theme and the subject of this psalm. The Lord who is my shepherd, who provides everything I need. David was a shepherd. When God called David to become king of Israel, he was actually out watching what? Sheep. By the way, a little footnote here, shepherds were the lowest of the low in the social ladder. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd. Nobody wanted to watch sheep. But yet God becomes our shepherd, and he tells us we are his sheep. Now, the Lord is our shepherd, but who is this Lord, verse 1, who is our shepherd. Whenever in your Old Testament you see the word Lord, L-O-R-D, in all capital letters, it is actually the word Jehovah or Yahweh. We're not sure how to pronounce that. It's that incommunicable name of God. The Hebrews wouldn't even really want to write that name or pronounce that name, excuse me. They would just say the name, Jehovah, Yahweh. But it's also a derivative of the name God gave to Moses from the burning bush, I am. And it conveys the eternality of God, that God is eternal, and the unchanging nature of God, that God is timeless and God doesn't change. What theologians call that is immutability. He does not change. He's immutable. So this Jehovah, this Yahweh, this Lord is the great I am. Not I was, not I shall be, or not I think I am. I am. Now, you carry that thought into the New Testament, and from the lips of Jesus, we hear him saying over and over and over again, as a matter of fact, seven times in the Gospel of John, I am, ego I me, I am. So I believe that this Lord, verse 1 of Psalm 23, is none other than who? Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the bread of God which comes down from heaven. I am, John 10, the what? Good shepherd. Actually, in the Greek, it is, I am the shepherd, the good one. I like that. There's bad shepherds out there. I'm the good shepherd. And I give my life for the sheep. Who is this shepherd in Psalm 23? It is Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And he does not change. He is immutable. Story is told of Lloyd Douglas, the author of The Robe, who wrote other novels, attended college, and when in college, he was in a boarding house. There was a retired wheelchair-bound music professor who resided on the first floor of the boarding house, and every morning, Douglas would stick his head in the professor's room, and he would say, "Good morning, professor, what's the good word today?" The professor would pick up a tuning fork, and he would hit it on the side of his wheelchair. And he said, "This is middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It will be middle C tomorrow. It will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, that is middle C." What a great description of our unchanging, immutable, eternal God, who was and is, and forevermore shall be. He never changes. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and for what? Forever. I'm glad God doesn't change, right? You know, I'm one of those guys who don't like change. I like things to be nice and smooth and comfortable. I don't like change in life, but, you know, life changes. People change. Just get one of your high school annuals out and open it up and look at yourself. Frightening thought. What happened to me? You got old and you change and things change, but God never changes. He is the great I am. And notice he says, the Lord Jehovah is my. Now, some say the most precious word in the entire Psalm 23 is the word my shepherd. Did you notice all the personal pronouns in the first half of the psalm? My shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside still waters, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Even though, verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, how personal is this psalm. This is one of the reasons that this psalm is so dear to our heart. If he's not a shepherd to anyone else, he's a shepherd to me. It's not the Lord is my parent shepherd, not the Lord is my pastor shepherd, not the Lord is my friend shepherd or my wife shepherd or my husband shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say this morning with all certainty, the Lord is my shepherd? If you can't say that, then you can't say the next phrase, I have everything I need. you will be in want. But if you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, guess what you get to say? I have everything I need. I love that. I shall not want. I love the Living Bible paraphrase of verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Kenneth Taylor rendered that. I have everything I need. Some of you came to church this morning griping about your car, griping about your marriage, griping about your house. I need a new husband. I need a new wife. I need a new car. Maybe I need a new body. I don't know. We tend to look at the negative. You know, I need a new dog. That one's digging under the fence. When the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything you need. Not want. There's a difference between your wants and your needs. When the Lord is your shepherd, if you're a Christian today, you have everything you need. I want you to leave church today just grabbing hold of that. The Lord's my shepherd. I have everything I need, whether it be in life, whether it be in death, or whether it be in eternity. The Lord takes care of me. He's my all and my all. He is my shepherd. Now, there are three areas of need in our lives that the good shepherd takes care of. And by the way, if the Lord is our shepherd, what does that make us? Sheep, right? Baa. You know, sheep are not fluffy, white, cute little animals. They're nasty. They're dumb. And they're defenseless. We are sheep. Just thought I'd encourage you all. You know, what'd you learn at church today? I'm dumb, dirty, and defenseless. And you need a shepherd. I want you to learn that lesson. Sheep have no sense of direction. They're dumb, they're dirty. They don't know what to eat. They need a shepherd. So the Lord takes care of three areas in our life. I want to put this psalm into three categories: our frailties, our fears, and our future. If you're taking notes, write these down. He takes care of our frailties. Let's go back to verses 2 and 3, our frailties. He makes me to lie down. I need rest. He leads me in the green, he makes me lie down, excuse me, in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we are his sheep. We are dependent. We are defenseless. And we need three things. What do we need? Number one, we need rest. In the Hebrew, this could be translated waters of rest. He doesn't lead me to the Niagara Falls and push me over. Anytime I see the Niagara Falls, it just kind of freaks me out. I think, oh, can you imagine falling off that thing or falling in that thing? So I don't look at Niagara Fall pictures. He says, oh, that's a lot of water. He leads me to quiet little streams. Sheep are timid. And if you have a raging water and a raging river, they'll back off. They won't drink from a raging winter. They need quiet little pools. And so he knows our frailty, that we need rest. He leads us beside the waters of rest. And in the Middle East, there's very little grass, and in the summer months when the lowlands dry up, they have to lead the sheep up through the canyons into the higher plateau areas to find greener pastures. And the sheep will not eat if they are fearful, or if they're fighting among themselves, if there's friction, or if they're hungry, if they have famine. They're kind of like people. We need to be free of fear, free of friction, and we need to have food in order to rest. Without the shepherd, the sheep cannot find rest. This is what the Bible says. The wicked who do not know the Lord as their shepherd, they're like the waves of the sea, which are always driven by the wind and tossed. There is no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. Remember when before you were a Christian, how you were never at rest? You were never at peace? You're always looking over your shoulder. You're always paranoid. Your life is always empty. You're always going from one thing to another, trying to find satisfaction. But one of the first things you experience when you become a Christian is rest and peace. Jesus said, if you are weary and you're heavy laden with cares, come to me and I will give you what? Oh, what a precious promise from the lips of Jesus. If you are weary of life, burdened with cares, come to Jesus Christ and you will find rest for your souls. The great Saint Augustine said that we were made for God. And the soul is restless till it finds its rest in thee, O God. He fills that emptiness in our life. And he provides the sheep and he provides us a rest for our soul. Then we also find that Jesus provides our shepherd restoration. Notice verse 3. He restores my soul. The idea is that he brings me back to life. The Hebrew could be translated brings back my life or brings back my health. Again, the Living Bible has this rendered. He renews my strength. It's really a Hebrew idiom for bringing back to repentance or conversion. You know, sheep have a tendency to wander off the path, right? They have no good sense of direction. And they'll get lost. And Jesus said, the good shepherd, he goes and finds the one lost sheep, leaves the 99. So sheep have a tendency to get lost. You and I are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. And aren't you glad that he's the good shepherd? He'll leave the 99 and he'll go and find that one sheep that is lost and he'll bring it back. Notice he makes me lie down. You know that sometimes the shepherd has to break the legs of a sheep to get it? Dependent on the shepherd and learn the lesson you shouldn't wander off God's path. And I mean, that's pretty radical. You break their leg and then you carry them. The shepherd carries them for a time. It knits the sheep to the shepherd. When it gets its strength back, then that sheep, I promise you, that sheep will never go astray again. You know that God sometimes has to break your leg. You go, I know, he's broken both of them right now. Thank God he loves you enough to do that. When he breaks them, he picks you up and he carries you and you learn your lesson. I don't want to get away from God because he spanks me or chastens me and he brings me back. I love this idea that if I wander away as a silly sheep, that God restores my soul. He brings me back to repentance. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, we'll get it in just a couple of weeks on Sunday morning in our study of 1 John, that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what David meant when he says, he restoreth my soul. He brings me back into fellowship with him. He forgives my sins. There is a book that I encourage you, if you haven't ever read, that you get and read, and I've been drawing from it already in my sermon. It's by Philip Keller. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. How many of you read that book by Philip Keller, Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23? No one's, okay, three people. See me after church, I'll give you a star. That is a good book. There's probably only one copy in the chapel store, and we'll have a run on it, you know. Don't fight over it, okay? It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller, the author of that book, excellent book, was himself a shepherd in New Zealand. I've been to New Zealand many times, and there's a lot of sheep there. More sheep than people. Everywhere you go, it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Everywhere you go, there's just sheep everywhere. And Philip Keller, in this book, Psalm 23, when he talks about the restoring my soul, he describes what is called a cast sheep. And evidently what happens when a sheep eats too much, like you and I, we eat too much and then we lay down. That if they roll over just a little bit, their little legs get off the ground, they get up in the air, and this cast sheep can't get back on its feet. Left in that situation, in just a short time, that sheep will die. It's a cast sheep. So you can see this, like, bah, 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 it's laying on its back. So the shepherd has to hear the bleeding of the sheep, And then he goes after the sheep, he finds the sheep, and then he restores this cast sheep. He puts it back on its feet, he rubs and massages the legs to get the blood circulation, and he sets it back on the path. This is why David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." Have you ever had those days or those times when your soul is cast down and you're discouraged and you are maybe disappointed or filled with doubts and fears? The Lord comes to us in his tender love and his care as a sheep does, or shepherd does to the sheep, and he restores us. And he sets us back upon the path. He restores my soul. David knew what it was like when he sinned with Bathsheba. David committed murder. David committed adultery. David lied, tried to cover his sin. And for a whole year, David says, "Thy hand, O God, was heavy upon me. And my moisture was turned into the drought of summer. My bones were broken." And then Nathan visited David and exposed his sin. And David said, "I have sinned." And God said, Nathan said, "God has forgiven your sins." He wrote Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, Psalm of Repentance. And so he had been cast down and he'd been restored. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. "I don't know the man," he said. And then Jesus restored his soul. Have you ever experienced restoration? Maybe today, maybe right now, you have drifted away from God. Maybe you're a cast sheep this morning. Your heart is filled with fear or discouragement. Jesus can come to you at your moment of need if you cry out to him, and he can restore your soul. He can bring back your spiritual health and your spiritual life. So he gives us rest. He gives us restoration. And thirdly, notice verse 3, he gives us righteous paths. He's dealing with our frailties. Verse 3 says, he leads me, verse 3, in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. To be consistent with his nature and his character and for his glory. He does it for his name's sake. Sheep, again, as I said, are foolish creatures and have no sense of direction. I don't know why, but when I was in high school, I was in an FFA class, Future Farmers of America. Do I look like a farmer? Farmer John? And one day we had to go out, that's how long ago I was in high school. We had sheep and cows and things like that. I remember I had to go out one day, it was a rainy day, and the teacher said, "Go out and get the sheep in the barn." Big barn, big doors, wide open, little pen area, bunch of sheep. Sheep, there it is, go for it. I don't know how to do sheep. I'm a surfer. I don't deal with sheep. You know, and it's raining, it's pouring. Come on, sheep, chase. And I could not, for the life of me, I couldn't get those sheep in that barn. They are dumb. I went in the barn and said, "Just soak to death. I don't care. Go ahead and die, sheep." Good shepherd that I am. But I'll never forget that. Remember those stupid sheep we couldn't get in the barn? That was just crazy. They sit out there shivering in the cold. How often we are like those dumb sheep, right? We don't know what path to take. We don't know what direction to take. And we wander off from God. And we need righteous paths. We need to follow the good shepherd. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. So we need the Lord to give us right paths. Where do we find the right paths? The Bible, God's Word. These are righteous paths that I follow in. If you don't know God's Word, you don't know where He's leading you. So we need to read the Word and meditate on the Word and follow His righteous paths as He leads our lives and guides our lives. And He does it for, notice there in verse 3, His name's sake, for His glory. He takes care of our frailties. But secondly, he takes care of our fears. I want you to notice this in verses 4 and 5. If I'm walking through the valley of shadow of death, scary thought, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. So these timid sheep who are fearful, Many times the shepherd, as he passes through the canyons, leading them up in the dry summer months, as Philip Keller describes in his book, they have to go up to the higher plateau areas where the grass is green, but they have to pass through the canyons. You know, for you to grow in your Christian life, you have to pass through valleys of deep darkness. Did he not just say, he leads me in paths of righteousness? Do you know where those righteous paths often lead? Through deep, dark valleys. Don't forget that. When you're in a deep, dark, dangerous valley and your heart's beginning to be overcome with fear, remember, he leads me, he leads me, he leads me, he leads me. I know my shepherd is leading me. So they go through these canyons. There's predators there. There's noises there. There's shadows that are cast, and they can't see where they're going. So many times the shepherd would have to pick up a lamb. He would go before the sheep, and then they would follow him through the canyon. So here we find out that our fears are taken care of. I will fear no evil. I don't need to be afraid of death. In the valley, a shadow of death. Jesus gave his life as the good shepherd, rose again from the dead. I don't need to fear death. As a Christian, the sting of death is removed. The strength of death is removed. I don't need to be afraid to die. I have the hope of heaven. Nor do I need to fear danger. In the Hebrew, this could be translated, verse 4, valley of deepest darkness. And it could speak of the trials of life, or the dangers of life, or the difficulties of life, or the dark periods of our life. God leads us. Why? Because he's our shepherd. And then notice in verse 4, we have his presence. This is why we don't fear. For thou art with me. Whatever valley I go through, whatever dark, difficult time in my life, God is with you. If you don't feel the presence of God, if you don't sense the presence of God, walk by faith, not by feeling. If you don't see God in your life right now, rest assured God is working in your life. Sometimes God is working powerfully in our life when we least can see it or know it or understand it. I don't see him. I don't feel him. That's when God is doing his greatest work. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by feeling. So you have his presence. Thou art with me. That's why we don't need to be afraid, the presence of the Lord. And then we also have the shepherd's protection. Thy rod, verse 4, and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. I need comfort. Don't you need comfort? You don't find it in alcohol, Southern comfort. You find it in the comfort of a shepherd. Don't run to the bottle, don't run to drugs, don't run to other forms of escapism, run to the shepherd. He's your comforter. And the Holy Spirit comes to comfort us during those times. So we have his protection. Now, what does he mean by rod? And what does he mean by staff? The rod is speaking of his protection, and the staff speaks of his direction. Protection and direction. In other words, the rod is just a club. It's like a sawed-off baseball bat. It's like a stick. But he doesn't use the stick on the sheep. Aren't you glad? You dumb sheep, I'm going to beat you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of deepest darkness, he beateth me. And I don't know whether I will come out. No, you walk through. You get through the canyon, you know. You start in the canyon, there is an exit on the other side. The club is for predators. And when we look up and we see the shepherd and he's got a big old club, I know that no lion or bear can mess with me because the shepherd is nearby. He is my protector. You don't have to be afraid. The shepherd's watching over you. And he directs me. The staff is that long stick with a crook at the end. So when the sheep start to wander, he can reach out and hook them. The Lord's hooking me all the time. You know, no, John over here. No, John over here. And how does he lead us? By his word. His word is his staff. And His Word pulls me back in the line. His Word pulls me and gives me the direction for my life, for my ministry. It comforts me. It directs me. So I don't need to be afraid when I'm walking through a time of deep darkness. And we have His provision, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So we have His presence, His protection, and His provision. You do not need to be afraid. Now, it is believed, and I think rightfully so, the beginning of verse 5, that the image changes from a shepherd to a host. It is no longer the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my host. And He invited me over for dinner. And He spreads a table before me, anoints my head with oil. Every host would provide oil and food for his guests. And in the Middle East, hospitality was very, very important. You protected your guests. You provided for your guests. You took care of your guests. You wouldn't invite somebody over your house to eat and just say, hey, you know, if you can find some food, go ahead and eat it. Or don't sit down. Don't want to mess up the furniture. I mean, if somebody comes over, you say, make yourself at home, which we really don't mean, by the way. Really? Make myself at home? Grab the carton of milk, go. Go in the bathroom, brush my teeth, spit on the mirror. That's what I do at home. I didn't mean it literally. But you know, when the Lord invites you into His home, and notice that the psalm switches, we're no longer outside in green pastures, we're inside sitting at a table. And now, another interesting point is beginning there in verse 5, is He's no longer talking to about the Lord, He's talking to the Lord. I want you to notice it with me there in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You, O Lord, anoint my head with oil. You make my cup to run over. He's not talking about Yahweh. He's talking to Yahweh. He's talking to Him and saying, this is what you do for me. This is what you provide for me. This is now we have Jehovah Jireh. We go from Jehovah Nesse, the compound name of God being the Lord our shepherd, Jehovah Nesse, the Lord my shepherd, or Lord shepherd, to Jehovah Jireh. I love that name for God. Jehovah our provider. It's used in Genesis 22 when Abraham was offering Isaac. He pulled him off the altar and God provided a ram in the thicket of the bushes. And God had him take that ram and offer it in the place of his son Isaac. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Now the origin of that word is actually, the etymology of that word is actually God sees. That's what it literally means. God sees. Then it came to mean God provides. Why? Because wherever there's God vision, there is God provision. Don't forget that. Wherever God sees, God provides. You might right now be thinking, you know, God, do you know what's going on? Do you see my marriage? Lord, do you see what's happening with my life? Lord, do you know that I need a job? Lord, do you know that we need money? Lord, do you know what's going on with my health? God sees. And wherever God sees, God provides. Amen. God knows what's happening in your marriage. God knows what's happening in your body. God knows what's happening in your life right now. God isn't blind. He sees. And wherever there is God vision, there is God provision. So He provides for us His presence, His protection, and His provision. What does He provide? A table in the presence of our enemies. He anoints my head with oil. He gives me the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. Sense of His presence, His power. My cup runneth over, figure of speech for blessing. My cup runs over. What does that mean? He's blessing me. It's so easy to complain. I have the gift of complaining, by the way. It just flows from me. Something's wrong, I'll find it out. I'll see it. I have a critical eye. Something's not just right. The picture's crooked. I was at the doctor the other day, straightening out his pictures on the wall. I'm like, what is wrong with me? This isn't even my office. And it's not always easy for me to count my blessings, but every once in a while, oh, those blessed times when God opens my eyes and my heart. And just the other day, I was sitting out on the back porch praying and talking to the Lord, and I just began to be overwhelmed with the sense of God's goodness to me, John Miller. And I began to think of all the good things God has done for me and how he's led me and he's guided me and he saved me and he protected me. I'm just overwhelmed with the goodness of God, my wife and my children and my grandchildren and the congregation that I get to pastor and all the goodness of God to me. You are his sheep. You are his child. He loves you. And your cup runs over. When the Lord is your shepherd, goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. And that brings me to my last point, your future. In verse 6, he talks about our future. And what he does in verse 6 is he summarizes the whole psalm. Verse 6 is a summary of verses 1 to 5. He summarizes 5 verses in 1 verse, and here it is, verse 6. Surely, notice the confidence, not maybe, surely, goodness and mercy, Hebrew loving kindness, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long?
Forever.
Isn't that awesome? It's as though the psalmist says, all this in heaven too? God, you're just too good. I can't believe how good you are, God. Why would anyone not want the Lord to be their shepherd? And when I walk through the valley of deepest darkness, guess what? God is still good. Never doubt the goodness of God, even in a time of darkness. Someone once said, never doubt in the dark what God has spoken in the light. Never doubt in the dark what God has spoken in the light. When you're in a valley of deep darkness, remember, he said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. As your day is, so shall your strength be. And that God will provide everything we need. You know, one of the things about the great I Am name of God is that God is whatever you need. It's a blank check. I need strength. I am your strength, God says. I need wisdom. I am your wisdom. I need companionship. I feel so alone. I am your companion. I need provision. I am your provision. I am your salvation. He's Jehovah to Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. I need a banner. I need a covering. He's Jehovah Nesse, the Lord our banner, the Lord our cover. I need peace. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. I am fill in the blank. What is it you need today? Not what you want, but what you need. God becomes everything you need. That's why God becomes our all in all. And so David looks back and he says, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. You know, the idea of goodness comes from God. God is good. The very word good comes from the idea of God. God is good. And his mercy, or loving kindness, follow me all the days of my life. These are the sheepdogs of the psalm. Imagine having two dogs, one named goodness, the other one named mercy. Come on, goodness and mercy, come on, let's go. And everywhere you go, these two dogs follow you, one goodness, one mercy, to remind you that goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Not only his past and his present, but then he ends with the future. And I will, not maybe, not hope to, not if I'm lucky, I will, total confidence, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All this in heaven too. Now, David might have been speaking of the tabernacle and the presence of God in the holy place and that he would dwell in God's tabernacle. But I also think that it has an application to eternity. Christians know where they're going when they die. Do you know where you're going when you die? A Christian knows where they're going when they die. It's called the house of the Lord. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. If I go to prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My Father's house. You can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that when you die, you will go to heaven. What certainty? How can David be so sure he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Verse 1. The Lord is his shepherd. When you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, then and only then can you say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If the Lord is not your shepherd, then you cannot say, I will be in heaven. But if you know the Lord as your shepherd, then you can say with all confidence, all assurance, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Man, when the Lord's your shepherd, you're ready to go home. And you'll never want for rest. You'll never want for righteous paths. You'll never want for restoration. You'll never want for provision in life, in death, or in eternity when the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd. And if he's not today, I want to give you an opportunity right now to invite Jesus Christ to be your shepherd. You don't need to leave church today without knowing that your sins are forgiven, that if you were to die, you'll go to heaven, that Jesus Christ is your shepherd. You realize I'm a sinner, you confess your sin to God, you turn from your sin, and you receive Jesus Christ, and he will become your shepherd.